Going to go to book of Proverbs, chapter number 2 tonight, book of Proverbs. Let's read here a little ways. And I think I'm just going to read 4 verses to begin with tonight, then we will pray. It says, "My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures," let me 5, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much tonight. We can gather in this place. We thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I particularly thank you for this book of Proverbs and what you allowed me to see and experience from it. I pray that you might tonight honor your word. You might cause it to infiltrate our hearts. Help us to see its value and make application of it, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a difference, I believe, between the wisdom found in chapter number 1 and that in chapter number 2. In chapter 1, the wisdom there is what I would describe as a general wisdom available to anyone who will listen. There's not a whole lot of that going on nowadays. But in chapter number 2, it's a little bit different. I wouldn't call it a general wisdom, but a hidden wisdom available only to those who will devote their lives to its pursuit. It's not something that comes easily. This wisdom is revealed most prominently in the Word of God and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this chapter. I'm not sure how far we go, but I want to look at it in 2 different parts. One, I want us to notice how to obtain this wisdom and its effects on our lives. And then, if Lord willing, we will look at how to use this wisdom in light of the evil man and the strange woman who try to destroy us. So we find here, discretion protects us from the evil man, or we will find that, and understanding protects us from the strange woman. And those be things later today or even perhaps next week. But first of all tonight, how to obtain this wisdom. First of all, I want to look at the requirements of this wisdom. And looking at verse number 1 once again, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." I would use the word tonight, attentive. We must be attentive. We must be one who listens to God, whether it be through a parent, a pastor, or personal reading. But we need to be willing to listen to God and what He's wanting to say to us. Young people, God has given you, thankfully in our church, God's given you some parents who know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can be a tremendous help and guide in your life. And I believe they probably most likely are from what I see. I'm just so thankful for that. But also, of course, as we listen to the preaching of the Word of God, and then in our own personal reading, I hope that you are doing that. I hope you allow God to help you to understand things as you read the Word of God. We find young Samuel was a tremendous example of this. The night described in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we find that the Lord spoke to him, and he goes into the high priest, and he says, "Well, go back to sleep," basically. And finally, he recognizes God is trying to speak to him. And so finally, Samuel responds to the Lord, and God gives to him some marvelous wisdom, and he becomes a tremendous prophet in the land of Israel. Notice verse number 2 as we consider. It says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Notice that word "incline." In other words, lifted up. I think of the word "dedicated" when I look at this verse. It means to, give it all unto the Lord. Incline thine ear. Apply thine self to understanding. And of course, this comes as we diligently study the Word of God. I believe that we look at Elisha. And Elijah spent a great deal of time with Elijah, and God gave him some marvelous things because he was dedicated to him. You remember the story. When it was time for Elijah to depart, Elisha followed him around. He says, "Well, quit following me." And he said, no, I want a double blessing. He says, well, if you're with me when I depart, and I'm paraphrasing it, he said, God will do that for you. And certainly God did that for him. And so we find that there needs to be that attentiveness, there needs to be that dedication to this matter of obtaining wisdom. Number three, or verse number three, if you notice, says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. I'll use the word enthusiastic there. You know, I've been involved in education for 45 years. And one of the things I have noticed is the student who desires and has enthusiasm to learn generally does a very good job, no matter what kind of ability God has given them. It's interesting to watch that through the years. Being enthusiastic. In other words, what's he saying here? Criest after knowledge. If you're willing to plead and raise the voice, really to describe a little bit of a fanatical person there, but it's one who's seeking after what God has for them. So if we're going to get a wisdom, we need to be attentive. We need to be dedicated to the whole idea and not wishy-washy. And I believe enthusiastic. I think Peter demonstrated this when he wanted to walk on the water to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had an enthusiasm about it. Oh, we know he sank, but let's remember something. He's the only man outside of Christ that walked on water twice, before he sank and after he sank, and walked back to the boat with him. Notice verse number four. He says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Excuse me, I'm in verse 6. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. And I would use the word here, passionate. We need to be attentive. We need to be dedicated, enthusiastic about this idea of obtaining wisdom, but also passionate. And I use that word because it's like the miner who is willing to endure whatever hardship it is in order to get to the wealth that be below the surface. I believe the Apostle Paul illustrated this as he had a passion for his own people. When you get to Romans chapter 9 and 10, he is very concerned about his people and has that passion, that desire to see them come to Christ. It's that kind of passion that we're talking about. So we notice, first of all, the requirements of this wisdom. But I want us to notice, secondly, in this particular section, in verses 5 to 9, we will read that in a moment, the results of this wisdom. Now, we read verse 5, but let's start there once again. It says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. The result of wisdom. First of all, in verse number 5, I believe it is, we get to know God in a very personal manner. If there's something that you and I need more than anything else, it's to know God. It's been a number of years ago, I picked up a book, and the book was simply titled, Knowing God. As I read that book, I wish I could tell you the author at the moment, but as I read that book, I decided it was perhaps one of the best books I had ever read in my ministry, in my life. I would still say the very same thing. And so throughout that book, he's talking about getting to know God. It is understanding that all things, whether good or bad, are to bring us into the position that God has designed for us. It's understanding that God so loves us that whatever comes our way, he has a reason for it, he has a purpose for it. And that's, I think, knowing God in a personal way. God takes us through a lot of difficult places that we might see his hand. We might recognize that he is the one who can do those things. By the way, God's going to give you some things in life that you cannot get through without him. You just can't do it. It might be a sickness. It might be a financial situation. It could be so many things, but there's no way through it without him. And so God has designed, I think, these things. So when we know God in this personal matter, knowing that He is all for us. I think Joseph is a great illustration. We've talked about him a couple of times recently, but Joseph, what happened? He knew the Lord. He dreamed about Him back in the book of Genesis. He dreamed about what God had for him. And we find that Joseph stuck to that. Joseph had some thoughts and understanding, I believe, whereby when he's put in the position of second command in the land of Egypt, and his brothers come to him, he realizes, hey, God did this for me and for my family. Did not hold bitterness toward them. And matter of fact, you get chapter number 50, they come and they're concerned because daddy's dead and they think he's going to come after them. And he has to really calm them down and say, listen, God did this and I accept it in that way. That's knowing God in a very personal way. Notice verse number 6, the first part of it especially says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. The Lord giveth wisdom. Do you realize that this was Solomon's desire? God really used Solomon to write most of the Proverbs, not all of them. But his desire was to have wisdom. When God came to him in a dream and basically asked him what he wanted wisdom above all else. And normally we'd be thinking about what can we put into our bank account or whatever, but he wanted that above all else, and God gave it to him. Marvelous it was. And so that was his desire, to gain that spiritual insight. If you notice in verse number 6 as well, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. This insight that he got gave him an ability to deal with people successfully. You know, we can know some things, but mishandle people, do things in a wrong manner. I've done that so many times through the years, and hopefully I've learned a couple things through those years, but we find that God gives us that ability. I see this when I think about David, when he was taking care of those who were doing the crops for Abigail and Nabal. And so when he asked for some help from Nabal, he turns him down very bitterly. And yet we find that David, he's going to go kill them all. Abigail comes to him. There's a difference. And the way she handled that was marvelous. And so God gives us spiritual insight. He gives us ability, I think, to deal with people successfully. And that's an art in many regards. But notice verse number 7 as we go forward. It says, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And I think when I think of this verse, especially when I look at that word buckler, it's God's protection in the battles of life. We have battles, isn't that true? We have things that we face. We have hardships. We have so many different attacks upon us, so to speak. And yet he's our buckler. That word buckler simply means he's our shield. He's our shield. Ask the three Hebrews what took place when they were in the fires. And what happened? Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he says, there's four in there. We only threw in three. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, was the shield to those, and they did not have the fire, even the smell of fire, come upon them. Notice verse number 8, as we go a little farther, it says, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. I believe what we find in this is, when we're seeking for the wisdom of God, some of the results are we get to know him in a personal way. We gain some spiritual insight. We learn how to deal with people successfully. We have God's protection through the battles of life. But we also find that he keeps us from making some life-ruining mistakes. Isn't that not true? I mean, we can do some things. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. And he keeps us on the right track. And thank the Lord for that. Sometimes we get off a track, but isn't it marvelous that our God brings us back? I think about the Apostle Peter as he denied the Lord 3 times. And yet the Lord came to him and he says, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." And what's he say? "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs." And God brought wonderful restoration to him. What did he do? He kept him ready from making even more mistake. You're going to mess up from time to time, but thank God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we are willing to confess them before him. Notice verse number 9, the first part especially. It says, "Then thou shalt understand righteousness." Thou shalt understand righteousness. And what I'm going to deal with here for just a few moments, when we think about the results of this wisdom, it helps us in our conduct, a proper conduct toward other people. And that is so needed in our lives. Amongst God's people, certainly in this world, we need a proper conduct toward other people. We find there's 2 great commands in the Bible. And the first one is we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind. And the second one is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You've heard me say it, I'll say it again. And that is that really when we boil it all down, the Word of God is seeking to do 2 things. Help us to learn how to get along with God and to love him, and how to get along with people and love them. And so proper conduct toward them, he speaks of righteousness. It's having a clear understanding of right and wrong, and the courage then to always do what is right. The temptation is to go the other direction. But if we're going to have proper conduct, we just need to always do what is right. Amen? It's there. And then he uses the word judgment. You notice that? And judgment. Thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment. And so I believe we have this result of learning how to deal fairly with people. That's not always easy to do. And I don't know how many times my children said it. I don't know if my grandkids ever said it to me. I've had school kids say it. I've heard adults say it. That's not fair. Of course, the standard thought with that is life is not fair, and that's certainly true, isn't it? But the best we know how, we need to seek to treat people fairly. I think the golden rule is pretty good on that. We treat them as we'd like to be treated. And so proper conduct toward people. And that's one of the things that's a result of this wisdom. He also makes mention here in verse number 9, he says, "In judgment and equity," and equity. In other words, he respects himself and others as valuable. Unique creations of God. He has a concept of worth in each individual and integrity. I have learned something. I forget it from time to time. And again, I go back to students, and what I've learned is, you know, certain students can be bad all the time. And you can you can make it worse. And you can do that by zeroing in on their problems, their ineffectiveness, their sometimes stupidities, really. And yet I found this, that rather than doing that, and I got to be reminded of it, and sometimes it happens, and I got to, Lord, forgive me, and what have you, to notice what's right. You got to notice what's right. Every one of you folks here, you are a foundation. And how you build upon that foundation determines your life and so forth. Isn't that true? And so we build upon things. I mean, under this building, you can't even see it as a foundation. It's 1 foot deep and 2 foot wide. And so all the cement blocks and the whole building sets on that foundation. And without it, things will crumble. In our part of the country, sometimes they do anyways. But we find that there must be that foundation. There must then be things built upon that. And if you and I can stop and realize that every individual, they have worth, they have things upon which we can build. And too often we zero in on what's wrong with them rather than what's right with them, because you cannot build on wrong. You don't build on sand. You have to build on that which is right. And if you're going to deal with people, we have to go at it from that angle. And God help me to do that. But it's having that right concept of equity, proper conduct toward people. Notice verse number nine, the last thing there. It says, and it says, yea, every good path. Yea, every good path. I just use these words. You might not see it with me, but it's simply this: no regrets. No regrets. I think about Ruth. Ruth chose to follow God. Her mother-in-law said, go back. She said, no, I want to go with you. She was a widow in a society where women depended upon husbands, but she had no husband. She was childless in a culture where women were respected for their ability to bear sons, but she had none. She was a stranger in a tight-knit Jewish community. She was a Moabite. But through her desire, she was blessed. She was blessed. And I think of this, yea, every good path, God blesses, and no regrets to them. When I sum up what we've looked at here tonight, I think I can say it in three words. And this is not good English, but you gotta want it. Amen. What's the results of wisdom? Well, we see knowing God, gaining spiritual insight, ability to deal with people successfully, protection in the realm of battles of life. It keeps us from some life-ruining mistakes. Wow. Gives an understanding of proper conduct toward other people. What a pleasure that is to God can give us that. But how do you get the wisdom to start with? Going back to the first few verses, it's to the one who desires it and goes after it with everything. We'll see that in some other verses in later chapters. But wisdom, this kind of wisdom, is that which needs to be sought for diligently. It doesn't come overnight. Not at all. Many years ago, we used to have a book in our library that was called Those Kids from Proverbsville. Did any of you ever read that book? There's some of you, I think, did. Okay, about 6-8 people. And I remember picking that book up and reading it. And there'd be a little story in how a father or mother or somebody used one of those proverbs to deal with the situation. And as I read that, I marveled and I thought, wow, I never saw those things. And I still marvel at that. But what that did to me, along with something that happened at camp, one of my quests through all these years has been to understand the Proverbs. I think if there's a place of 100% understanding, I'm about 2%. And yet God has marvelously blessed to be able to stop and to look at and to see them, the marvelous truths that He has. You got to dig them out. Don't come easy. It does not. One thing I have done for the last several years, I read one chapter of Proverbs every day, along with my other reading. And sometimes, to be honest with you, I've just read through it, didn't really pay attention. That doesn't do me much good. But how blessed it is to allow these things to cause us to stop and think about life and how to handle situations. I think I said it last week. You know, a lot of folks, they go to college, they want to take psychology so they can figure out how to deal with people. Pick up Proverbs. It'll tell you more than how to get along with people. And marvelous book it is. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you so much. We have this privilege to gain wisdom. Lord, I pray that in our midst that you would put a desire in every heart, a desire to dig out its truth. Lord, not just to read it, but to begin to understand some of these proverbs in a very special way. Father, they might be ours, they might be that which is helpful in day-to-day living. And certainly want that for the entire Word of God, but we just thank you so much for this book and its wisdom. And for that we give you thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen.